Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. My name is Dan Mott, and we thank you for listening to us this week. We apologize, guys, once again to our listeners as we took another few weeks off, but now is the time of the year to take those breaks as the Chicago Bears wrap up their vacations in this offseason. But we are glad to be back, so thank you guys for sticking with us. We have some familiar Pro Football Weekly voices on the show with us this week, sitting in for Bob Laguerre and Hub Arkish, who are both on much-needed holidays this week. We have Pro Football Weekly Managing Editor Arthur Arkish here today. What's up, Arthur?
Hey, what's happening? Just got back from my little mini vacay and ready to talk some Bears with y'all.
Awesome. Also joining us is Pro Football Weekly NFL writer Eric Edholm. What's going on, Eric?
Well, what is this vacation you guys speak of? I don't need any of that. I'm grinding through tape on Mondays and Tuesdays while you guys are getting sun rays and stuff like that. It's just not fair.
Eric's got that Mitch Trubisky work ethic in him.
Oh yeah, I'm a grinder, dude. That's what I do.
Sort of deja vu for us this week. Of course, Arthur and Eric join me each week on the Pro Football Weekly podcast, where we chat all things NFL over there. So if you want to hear more NFL talk from these guys, be sure to find that on iTunes. However, we know that you're all here for Bears chat, so that's what we're bringing you today. Guys, training camp is here. The Bears report to Bourbonnais next week, and today we will be giving you a defense preview as the team heads south. Arthur, I'm going to start with just an overview of the defense. I mean, how prepared is the defense heading into training camp this season? We've heard in most of this, you know, off-season mini camps that the defense has stayed ahead of the offense in its preparations. Are these guys ready to ball in Bourbonnais?
Yeah, so the Bears headed ever so they will head, you know, ever so south, obviously, so slightly south, excuse me, down to Bourbonnais. But certainly the belief after this offseason is that this team as a whole is heading north, that the arrow is pointing up. A lot of the excitement has been on the offense, but I think a lot of the reason, to believe that this team can continue improving is the continuity on defense. Vic Fangio returns. You know, it depends how you want to count them, but I count around 10 of 12 starters if we include Bryce Callahan, the nickel. So the scheme has been here for 3 years now. You got pretty much all your handpicked dudes. There's no reason to believe that they can't build on last year, which was the Bears' first finish in the top 10 in both yards and scoring since Lovie Smith's final season. So they were a sneaky good defense last year, and I think they have a chance to be a well-documented, very good defense this season if things fall their way, which they haven't in recent seasons, obviously.
Eric, I think that the defense is obviously more prepared, probably because it's the same playbook, similar face in you know, being able to see Vic Fangio yet again. They're not learning a new system here. Let's shine light more on Vic Fangio, who I think you'll agree the team and Chicago fans are feeling the love.
I think it was an impressive, you know, maybe even more so than a lot of people outside Chicago would realize, an impressive job by Matt Nagy to retain Vic Fangio, who was, you know, ostensibly a candidate for that job. You could understand if his feelings were hurt or he wanted to take more money elsewhere, a better situation, or, you know, feeling like he was passed over. And so to retain him in this position, to give him this, you know, to get him back for 2018 and beyond, hopefully, that was a coup. And that really is important because obviously Vic is, you know, shown steady improvement in what he's done here. He's got a great reputation from 20 plus years in the NFL. You know, has been a coordinator as long ago as the 1990s and has been able to adapt to the times and has, you know, come up with this unit now, which, you know, Ryan Pace has given him pretty good talent and he's helped put this thing together. And they add a piece in Roquan Smith. And, you know, it seems like Roquan's entering an ideal situation with Trevathan next to him, what could be a very good D-line in front of him, what looks to be a nice secondary behind him. So the pieces are all there. I don't know if they'll be one of the top three units in the league, let's say, but, you know, if you told me they were going to be one of the best seven or eight in the NFL by year's end, I wouldn't be shocked by that. And having an offense that can, you know, not go three and out every other series helps them out too. So this is the makings of something really, really interesting here.
Arthur, would you say that Fangio is giving off almost that Buddy Ryan kind of vibe with this team?
I don't know if he's quite as brash as a Buddy Ryan. I mean, I do think that he is beloved by his players and that there's kind of a constructive competitiveness building on this club between this sort of upstart offense and this more established D. But Vic kind of goes about his business a little bit more quietly. He'll tell it like it is, but I think maybe the Buddy Ryan comparison is just in the Bears' ability to make sure that they brought him back. Everyone knows the history of Ryan and Dicka and those guys learning to coexist. So it kind of the picture that Eric just painted, the ability to get Vic back, to pair him with Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich, this could really be an all-star coaching staff, and it's really all in front of the Bears. It's easy to see why there's been as much excitement surrounding this club as there has been this offseason.
Well, as we give this defensive preview leading up to training camp, let's look a little bit at the defensive depth chart, starting with the defensive line. Arthur, it looks very strong if Bullard basically can seamlessly replace Unrein.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you got your two studs back in Akeem Hicks, a Pro Bowl caliber talent, one of the best interior defenders in all of football last season. And then Eddie Goldman on the nose, of course, who I think could be really poised for a true breakout season. He plays nose guard, so people don't talk about him much, but he's been pretty darn good when he's been in the lineup. So that leaves that question, as you just mentioned, Jonathan Bullard. It's time for him entering year three, the former third rounder, to really show what he can do. There is a starting spot available after Mitch Unrein left for Tampa. It's really just a rundown, position, because I think the Bears hope that Akeem Hicks can do what he did last year and Eddie Goldman can continue to ascend as a pass rusher. So they just need a blue collar dude who can do it on early downs. Bullard, I think, brings some sub package potential for sure. But he's got to put it back. He's got to put it all together. And you've heard his teammates talk a little bit about how he's still or he has been learning to be a professional. And that's been a big part of it. So we'll see what he can do, because there's going to be some other interesting guys when you're talking about Roy Robertson Harris, Bilal Nichols, the fifth-round rookie the Bears added, too. There will be competition. This job is not going to be handed to Jonathan Bullard.
Well, and Eric, I'm glad Arthur brought that up. Let's not forget about Roy Robertson-Harris and Bilal Nichols. I mean, these guys all have potential but haven't been able to fully showcase their abilities in anything less than spot play to this point. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, you can look and say Bullard played more snaps than Mitch Unrein last year. And, so he's experience-wise should be able to do it. And he's got a pretty good pedigree. He played at a high level at Florida. Was never, I don't think an elite player there, but he showed flashes of being a very solid player. Third round was about where I had him. I thought that was pretty good value, maybe second round. So, this he can continue to ascend. I think he'll be a good contributor up front. Roy Robertson-Harris really is intriguing to me. Obviously, he's got the kind of the unusual build, the taller guy at almost 6'7", long wingspan. He almost sort of fits that, I don't want to say he's going to be, Calais Campbell or DeForest Buckner or somebody like that, but he's got that kind of, he's been growing into that kind of build. He'll never be, I don't think, that, 312-pound guy who, he's more of an athletically built guy, but on those sub packages, maybe he adds a little bit of juice to that pass rush. Because that, to me, up front, depth and pass rush talent is really what worries me the most about this group. I know we'll talk about the linebackers a little bit, but you can't count on Akeem Hicks to be your only penetrator, your only gap splitter. So that's where it comes in. And if one of those guys go down, especially Hicks or Goldman, then you start worrying. I mean, that's the depth there is not where I think you'd want it. So developing some of these young guys, seeing if Nichols can contribute in year one, Bears have had a lot of redshirt rookies in recent years where they're more contributors in year two. So I don't know that you can count on him right away.
Arthur, in talking about Akeem Hicks, I mean, does he have another level to reach with this team?
We'll see. I mean, he was so good last year, but I think he's only 27, 28 years old. He's been a little bit of a late bloomer. I'm just checking here. Excuse me. Yeah, 28. We'll turn 29 midway through the season. So I think what's encouraging, or what should be encouraging for Bears fans, is the fact that Hicks did it kind of as a one-man band last year. I mean, Leonard Floyd's in and out of the lineup. All these aging outside linebackers who are no longer on the roster are getting shuffled in and out. He was the one consistent pass rush force, and he was still pretty much unstoppable. So, again, we're going to get to the linebackers. We're going to talk a lot about Leonard Floyd. But if you get those guys both on the field for 16 games and you let Vic Fangio start playing some of the line games up front that we used to see with the likes of Alden Smith and Justin Smith, then maybe Hicks does have a little bit of untapped production he can still get into.
And Arthur, he did it after the contract extension too. That was a big
yes.
And right. Len did it the year before after a so if you're thinking about extending Eddie Goldman, you're hoping that they carry that same workmanlike attitude that Leno did, that Hicks did, and that you're not going to slack off now that you've gotten paid. I just wanted to throw that in there.
It's a great point by Eric. It was a little unusual that the Bears went back to Akeem Hicks so early, I believe. They gave him a one-year deal, and then they re-upped him very quickly, if memory serves. So that's a great point, and obviously that's what the Bears are banking on with Kyle Fuller here as well, too, because he balled out in a contract year. But yes, it's a great point, and it was a good segue, Dan, because we do want to talk about Eddie Goldman's contract extension, or the one that he is eligible for, and I'll throw it back to Eric, but one that I think the Bears would be very wise to be working on and try and get done before this season starts, because we've seen time and again the advantages that teams get from getting to their players, the guys they really do believe in and are fond of a little bit early, you end up saving down the road, Eric.
Yeah, it's a hometown discount of sorts. That's like, you know, they sort of refer to it as. But yeah, I think it would just be the long-term security of knowing you've got a place here, we value your contribution, now go out there and build on what you've done before. And I don't remember the exact timing of Leno's deal and Hicks's deal, but I think both came in August. I think both came either midway through the preseason or late in the preseason. So if we're looking for a Goldman deal to get done, it would probably happen in that same range if, you know, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, Vic Fangio all believe, oh yeah, he's gonna get more than a 1.5 sacks. He's gonna play more than 500 or 600 snaps, and he's gonna contribute in an expanded role.
So he started a career-high 15 times last season. Eric's right, the pass rush production, at least the tangible, you know, numbers that we can view, sack production has dropped each season. But I think he's become a more dependable player, and that's just my two cents. I would guess that Vic Fangio certainly agrees with that. And I think if you're looking for comps, guys, maybe someone like Tim Jernigan got four years, $48 million last year, half of it guaranteed. Corey Legit, that was kind of an odd deal. He got even a little bit more from the Chargers at this time last year at 5 and 51 with almost 30 guaranteed. So that, again, was a little curious. But those are the two names, the two nose guards that kind of jump out at me as guys to look out for.
Let's shift now to the linebackers, starting with the inside. The Bears drafted Roquan Smith in the first round of the 2018 draft. Arthur, how does Roquan and Trevathan fit together in this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be a brilliant pairing with the two of them, two fast, physical linebackers. So I feel like their skill sets kind of have some carryover in that regard. Both a little bit undersized, actually. Just don't tell Roquan Smith that. He doesn't appreciate it. And I think in the year 2018, they're not really undersized. Look at Deion Jones. Look at even Luke Kuechly. These aren't that big of dudes, but relatively speaking or whatever. But yes, I think they should play very well together in terms of their skill sets. And I have to think that the Bears are depending on Roquan Smith's coverage ability, his ability to play sideline to sideline and stick with running backs and tight ends, maybe being a boon, Eric, even over what they've gotten from Danny Trevathan. They really just need Danny Trevathan to stay on the field, too.
Yeah, no, I just did some stats this morning working on a piece for our Bears insert in the Shaw Papers coming up in July and later in July. And the difference between the defense with Trevathan on the field and without him is stark. It's a big difference. Without him, they allow 25.5 points a game. With him, it's 20.9. The yardage difference is more than 50 yards per game. So, you know, he may not be out there intercepting passes or you know, sacking the quarterback or stripping the fumbles all that often, but he's just so reliable and knowledgeable, and he seems like a good dude. I think he'll, you know, kind of take Roquan under his wing a little bit. And it seems like they're off to a good start as far as, you know, a mentorship program. And, you know, Danny understands the business and he knows what's going on. And he knows that, you know, he may be on the back nine of his career, even though he's not an old guy. It's just the nature of that position, his size, and, you know, like you said, kind of a checkered injury history as well. But if they can get two more solid years out of him, I mean, that's a great way to kind of transition to the next era. And I think Roquan's instincts and his intelligence and his nonstop motor are going to be, they're going to endear himself not only to Trevathan, but also the defensive coaches.
Eric, is there a chance that Kwiatkowski holds off Roquan?
I think he'll play. I think he's going to be a crucial special teams guy. I mean, that's obviously, you know, sort of what he's maybe built to do. And when he had to play, he did pretty well. I mean, I didn't see a guy who looked out of place. I mean, he played a good amount of snaps last year. But, you know, you can be smart about it and rotate those guys in if Trevathan gets hurt or, God forbid, he gets another suspension of some sort or, you know, Roquan's not ready for prime time. You'd feel pretty good about him as your third inside linebacker.
Arthur, we're talking a lot about Trevathan as well. Is Trevathan's best season with the Bears offing?
It could be upcoming, yeah, only because he just hasn't been able to stay on the field, and there hasn't been a lot of a continuity with him and with he and Jarrell Freeman. Remember just a couple years ago when Ryan Pace first overhauled that inside linebacker core, there was talk that that was going to be the most improved position group in the NFL because of those two big signings. But those guys, I don't have the numbers in front of me. They didn't spend a lot of time on the field together. Trevathan's only played, started 20 games in his two seasons with the Bears. So it's all about availability for him. And then again, I think having such a talented guy, you know, who's not even at the prime of his career yet, in Roquan alongside him can only help. And then when we get back to the Vic Fangio element of this, Vic Fangio knows linebackers. I mean, I don't need to tell people that. The Dome Patrol, Bowman and Willis, that's what the dude does. And he now knows Trevathan well. They know each other well. So, yeah, I think the stage is set for a lot of promise coming from this position group and Trevathan specifically.
Eric, is EA Booneyway, or Iggy, which is, I think, a whole lot easier to pronounce, is he going to be a challenger to Timu and Anderson?
No, man, you nailed it. That was good, Joel.
That was good.
Anyway, I mean, this is, you got to get the inflection right, the whole thing. And yeah, I think Iggy will stick. I even joked about it with him. I talked to one of his college teammates, Dion Yelder, and he was struggling to pronounce the name. I thought if a guy who hadn't, you know, played with him 4 years can't do it, I don't feel so bad. But, you know, he kind of fits in that poor man's Roquan mold a little bit. You know, he's an instinctive guy. He's a hitter. All you need to do is watch the bowl game, actually against Anthony Miller, interestingly enough, a couple of years ago. He got ejected for a big hit that was a very questionable call. So this guy has a special teams mentality, a do whatever I can to make the roster mentality. Now, he's a fourth round pick, so he's going to make the initial 53 unless he's just terrible, which I don't think he will be. So you watch him play. Same thing, undersized guy, maybe doesn't have anywhere near the range that Smith does in coverage, but still a useful guy. I think he has a chance to sort of be that fourth inside linebacker slash, you know, versatile guy when they go to sub packages and play as a will, you know, an off the ball kind of guy. He's not going to be a pass rusher. I don't know if he's going to hold off both of those players, but we're talking about a depth guy at this point, I think.
At the outside linebacker position, Arthur, how much pressure should Floyd be feeling entering year three?
I mean, I think it's immense. This is a guy who has dealt with concussions. He's coming off a knee surgery. I believe it was just a cleanup job after that ended his second season abruptly. And all the sort of established guys in this position room are gone in Lamar Houston and Willie Young and Pernell McPhee. So it's Leonard Floyd and it's the Bears saying now is your time. It has to be now. So I think Floyd is capable of handling that pressure, and certainly he's capable of generating a ton of it. I feel like a broken record here, if he can stay on the field, but I guess that's the case. Anyone who's watched these Bears in recent seasons knows that is kind of priority number one for this club. So I think we've seen enough flashes when he's been right, when he's been out there. But now he needs to do it consistently, and he needs to kind of work on potentially building a rapport. I mentioned with guys like Akeem Hicks, with maybe the guy that's going to line up across of him, across from Leonard Floyd. And I think that's a big mystery right now, Eric. Is that Sam Acho? Is that Aaron Lynch? Is there a wild card in this group that's maybe going to come up and surprise people?
The wild card for me would be Kylie Fitz. I mean, I really think he's an interesting player, and I didn't know much about him. I didn't know much about his story until you and I were down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, and I'm trying to remember what day it was. May have been the second day. So Wednesday practice starts. They're doing some pass rush drills, and this dude flips out a spin move, and everybody loves a spin move, right? Obviously, that's a sexy pass rush move, but he looked so natural doing it. He looked like a basketball small forward moving on the court, you know, fighting off a screen almost. And it was just so natural. It was like, whoa, that was one of the first moments at the Senior Bowl that I kind of stood up in my chair and thought that was an outstanding move. Then you look at him, you realize he's been injured. You know, he's an older prospect. There's some warts on him as a player, but I'm telling you, we'll see how he is in camp, and I could change my tune very quickly if he's not healthy or he's having a trouble picking up the scheme. But he's very interesting. He may not have a long career. He may not be a special player. But you guys remember Mark Anderson. I'm not saying he's that, but think about how important Mark Anderson was as that sub-rusher in, 2005, 2006, you know, small span, but he helped the team and he was productive and he went to the Patriots and had a good playoff run a couple of years after that. So that's at least what came to my mind when I watched him in that brief spell. It's just a matter of, you know, staying on the field and being available.
I hadn't heard that name in a while, and it kind of jogged my memory a bit. I'm thinking that he of the double-digit sacks as a rookie, Mark Anderson, 12 as a rookie.
I don't think he started a game either, right? He was like a sub guy the whole time, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we had one start, but yes, appeared in all 16 games. And yes, he was a menace in his first couple seasons, never became it on a full-time basis or whatever. But yeah, maybe on a pitch count. And again, let's be very clear, Eric isn't predicting 12 sacks for Kylie Fitz this season. But I think more of that, I think more of that role to rotate your dudes and give them one responsibility, which is to pin his ears back. And I think there's the opportunity on this defense when you look at the depth chart for just that.
Yep. Eric, did you mention Isaiah Irving at all?
Yeah, no, I don't know much about him, to be honest. And I don't know exactly where he fits in this group. And you know, there's a couple of interesting guys there. And, you know, probably the most, you know, the guy with the biggest potential, if he can kind of claim what he had in San Francisco, is Aaron Lynch. But, you know, when you're talking about college free agents, kind of a, I don't say undersized guy, but Irving is, you know, he is what he is. He's kind of got the short arms. He's, I think, 6'2", a little stockier lower body, but he's got a little interesting juice. And he played on a bad defense in college and was pretty good. I mean, you know, he had some moments there, but I'm not confident at all in saying at this point that he's ready to storm in and be a productive defender. So he's got to make this team first. But obviously they've kept him around for over a year for good reason now.
Arthur, if you are Ryan Pace, do you still have Lamar Houston and Willie Young on speed dial?
I mean, I think you do for all the reasons we alluded to, but I do also think that it's telling that those guys are still out there, obviously. And I think Lamar Houston in particular, because I think he was second on the Bears in sacks after coming in late in November or something like that last season. You can check me on the actual numbers, but he was obviously very productive in a short amount of time in his second go round with the Bears last year. Willie Young is coming off the injury. And again, I haven't heard much on him. So yet to be a little leery that there are 31 other teams who are also choosing to pass on these guys, but for familiarity reasons and for more than anything, just sort of the volatility in my mind of this position group, I think it would Ryan Pace would be doing himself a disservice if he wasn't at least considering one of those guys, probably Lamar Houston, who's a bit younger.
We'll wrap things up here on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast, looking at the secondary. Arthur, after turning a corner and getting paid, is Kyle Fuller's ascendancy comfortable to bank on?
I think it's one of the biggest questions with the 2018 Bears, and I'm not trying to suggest that Fuller sort of saw the paycheck on the horizon and picked up his level of play like that. I don't think that's the case. I think this, you know, the Vic Fangio effect probably hasn't been stronger on any player more so than Kyle Fuller, and the whole tough love approach and the way that Fuller made it through the other end last season. So with Fangio coming back, you feel better about it. With Prince Amakamara back, the whole secondary returning, you feel better about it. But it's worth noting, I mean, he's going to have a target on his back now. He is one of the highest paid corners in football now, and the Bears are going to want interceptions. They're going to want flashy plays to go along with the consistency that Kyle Fuller found last season. I'm curious to get Eric's take on this because, again, I think it is absolutely one of the biggest questions with these Bears.
Yeah, and just to build on that thought, I mean, obviously he had been kind of a mystery wrapped in an enigma his first few years where, you know, people weren't fully ready to write him off, but there wasn't a ton of support entering last season about the idea of Kyle Fuller suddenly becoming the shutdown corner. Maybe he didn't play quite as brilliantly as some said, but I thought he was really good, and most people, I think, agree in that. You know, he earned that contract last season. Now, again, similar to what we were talking about with Hicks, Leno, possibly Goldman, you got to back it up. You made a good point earlier to make that note, is that, hey, they're still counting on him to continue making strides and be, you know, the next Donnell Wolford. I mean, the Bears haven't had, you know, maybe I don't think he'll ever be Charles Tillman. I don't think he's going to be that kind of player. But, you know, one of the better corners potentially that the Bears have had in the last 20 years. So there's that upside there. I talked to Bud Foster, defensive coordinator of Virginia Tech, and he and Fuller have stayed in touch. And I'm going to put this into a piece as we get closer to training camp here. But, you know, the way Foster was describing Kyle Fuller in college, kind of almost, unsure of himself, uncomfortable in his own skin, lacking a little confidence early on, was exactly the kind of stuff that we media members here who had seen him up close, kind of reticent to speak to the media, didn't always seem assertive on the field. It felt like an echo. And he said by the end of his time here, he really kind of came out of his shell. So I don't want to give away too much. Never give away all your best stuff. But that's kind of the core of what Foster was telling me. So they've stayed in touch, and he's helped kind of, hey, reminder, man, you were really good in college, and you can be that player. And we saw that last season.
Arthur, you guys had mentioned Amukamara, who also got paid and is now entrenched as the CB2. Can he find another gear?
We'll see. I mean, he got 3 years, $27 million, after settling for 1 year deals each of the past two seasons. So, I think he's always been a steady player. But he's a guy who's looking for his first pick since 2015. Hasn't, had an interception on either of those 1 year prove it contracts. He's looking for his first full season since 2013. So, everyone knows the pedigree is there. Former first rounder, obviously with the Giants. He's got nice size. I think he's got, pretty nice fundamentals. So, yeah, I think it's a good spot for him to continue to play well and to try and get his hands on a few more footballs. But I think the depth at this position, guys, could be really good. So if Amukamara does struggle a little bit with the injuries, you've got a motivated Marcus Cooper is back. You've got both Bryce Callahan and Kervon LeBlanc who've shown the ability to play on the inside and outside. So I don't think the Bears are terribly concerned about Amukamara if they can just continue to get that steady play. But, getting some of the game-changing stuff certainly would be the cherry on top for him.
And Eric, Arthur mentioned Marcus Cooper. There is some talk that perhaps he finds himself on the bubble in Bourbonnais. And also, I mean, where does Kevin Tolliver, Doran Grant, Michael Joseph, Rashard Fant, I mean, where do these guys find themselves? I mean, perhaps on the practice squad?
Yeah, I think a lot of those guys you mentioned, Kevin Tolliver, really talented kid out of LSU, but somebody who, wouldn't always listen to coaches, was a little bit lazy in college, sort of felt like he was a five-star prospect and getting two-star respect. Well, one of the reasons why he didn't put it all together. Michael Joseph, a kid from a Division III school who's the opposite end of the spectrum, maybe doesn't have anywhere near the raw talent, but has worked at his craft, has gotten better, and will push guys like Tolliver in practice, and the coaches will take notice. So, yeah, both those guys have a track to be sort of on the practice squad. Rashard Fant, John Franklin, those other guys they brought in. Franklin was a college QB and a wide receiver. I mean, he's played every other position except cornerback, so he is most definitely a project. Doran Grant, I loved him coming out of Ohio State. I actually thought he was a really good player, but he's never found his footing in this league. So, I mean, I have to revise my expectations for him. And so, yeah, when you get back to Cooper, who was roundly a disappointment last season, you have to at least think, well, he was at least useful on special teams and not bad in that role. Does a guy his age, I think he's got to be pushing 30 at this point, 28 29, so does he want to play that kind of role? Is he going to be able to sort of check his ego a little bit, and do the Bears want to carry him in that role? I don't know. There's a reason why he's been on three or four teams at this point. So I guess I'm a little bit bearish on him and don't necessarily think he's gonna do much. But at worst, it gives you just sort of a veteran option in case you have some injuries or some depth questions.
Arthur, you also mentioned Bryce Callahan, who's in a contract year, and it's possible he has the potential to be a breakout star. What does he have to do to really shine?
Well, stop me if you guys have heard this before, but he needs to stay on the football field. Bryce Callahan is undersized. I think, in my estimation, he is one of the tougher pound-for-pound guys on the roster. I love his mentality as a player. He does not, don't tell him he's 5'9 and 180 pounds dripping wet, because this guy will stick his nose in. He's made some big plays behind the line of scrimmage and run support. He's made some athletic turnovers in a short amount of time. So I love his game, but I do have concerns about whether he is ever just going to have that frame and whether he's ever going to be able to show the restraint play-wise to stay on the field. But It's all in front of him. Like you said, it's a contract year. We just saw, I believe it was the Dolphins just paid Bobby McCain their nickel. He got like, I think, almost $15 million guaranteed. So this is an important position, obviously, and he has shown really bright flashes. I'm excited. He's one of the guys I'm more excited to watch this season because, again, I think it's all in front of him. And I love his ability, the way he goes up for footballs despite his size, the way he tackles. He's a fun player to watch for sure.
Eric, at the safety position, we talked about Eddie Goldman and possibly getting that that contract extension early before the season starts. Is Adrian Amos another extension candidate before the season starts?
Well, possibly. I mean, I know they like him. I think they feel like he's filled a nice role as that box safety, you know, kind of up closer to the line of scrimmage. He's, you know, his best work seems to be done 15 yards and in to me. I don't love him in that deep role. He's not an interceptor. I think his one pick last year was off a deflection. So he's never going to be a Jackson caliber playmaker in my mind. Plays a different role, that whole thing. But he's reliable. I mean, he's been pretty good and when he's been out there on the field. I know that's sort of a familiar tune there. But, yeah, I mean, when he's been out there, he's been pretty good. So I like him. I'm not in love with him the way some people are. Maybe I just haven't seen the games I haven't seen or the snaps that have really revealed this incredible ability that people seem to be touting. But good physical specimen. They call him Smash for a reason. He pounds dudes. And he's played, you know, to me, with the rules being stacked against those type of enforcer safeties, I mean, he hasn't had a ton of penalties. He's been very smart about timing up his hits, you know, positioning his body. I mean, that's sort of an underrated little trait to have as a safety who wants to go out and crush people, because you can't do it anymore. I mean, the rules, especially this year, the rules are going to be even different. So, you know, if he maintains that level of play amid this safety era we're in, that's a sneaky good value right there.
Arthur, there's also Eddie Jackson, who could be falling off like Fuller did after his rookie season. I mean, what does he have to do to avoid that?
Okay, yeah, right. That's the way to tee it up. We're not suggesting he will, but it's hard not to at least acknowledge a few of the parallels. Remember, Kyle Fuller, through the first quarter of his rookie season, looked like literally the next Charles Tillman, the guy he had replaced and would became a ball magnet immediately. Eddie Jackson, of course, sets the NFL record with the two big return touchdowns last year, shows a knack for taking the football away. So what does he have to do to maintain it? He's just got to keep making plays on the football. I know it sounds a little too easy, but we should remind everyone that as much promise as there is, as much continuity as there is in this secondary, it's still ranked 29th in interception percentage last year. And I believe this is the worst 3-year stretch in franchise history in terms of turning the football over. So that's what they looked at Eddie Jackson for. They want him to be that deep safety that Eric just mentioned. Adrian Amos probably isn't. And I think he can. He's a talented dude. Remember, he was coming off the broken leg as a rookie last year. So I think there is probably ample evidence to suggest that he should be able to pick up where he left off and keep ascending as a player.
He played 99.7% of the Bears' defensive snaps as a fourth-round rookie coming off a broken leg. I mean, that right wow. There speaks volumes. And then, like you said, that playmaking element that developed started in the Carolina game. We saw, I think, 5 turnovers throughout the season. So, yeah, he's one to watch. You know, he was an exciting punt returner in college. He's just an interesting player who I think the draft Knicks weren't all that high on, and that reflected his draft value along with the injury stuff. But he's interesting. He could I don't he's not going to be Mike Brown maybe, but I don't know. There's something there. I like him.
Eric, a couple more guys worth mentioning here. Do you feel it could be potentially now or never for the trio of 2016 mid-rounders, Deion Bush, DeAndre Hall, and DeAndre Houston Carson?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you can start cutting out some of these hyphenated names, it would be easier on us writers. but I'm okay with that if they make the team and perform well, you know. But, yeah, I think it absolutely is. You know, the number of players they've added to that position in recent years and, you know, the college free agents we mentioned earlier, they're going to push them. You know, there's obviously – we haven't seen enough from really any of those three guys. Deion Bush was really interesting coming out of college. And I think all of them were in that same class, right? They were all day three picks a couple years ago. So, yeah, this is the time. You have a feeling that, you know, at least one of the three, if not all three, aren't going to make it. But maybe one emerges and gives them you know, takes over that Marcus Cooper role, or you know, helps kind of build, you know, bring this group together a little bit. I suspect it's going to be, their names are going to be on that training camp, you know, cutting room floor a little bit for where we're projecting what the final 53 will look like.
Guys, maybe we should have realized, or at least I should have realized when I'm busy mocking Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Bears in April. Look at Ryan Pace's safeties that he's acquired. Everyone has been on day three, all round four or round five, excuse me. And then, of course, Eddie Jackson, Adrian Amos look like big time finds. We'll see if anyone can join them. DeAndre Hall is the one that interests me. I mean, how could he not with those vines for arms and with the Bears believe his positional flexibility, but he's been a little slow to catch on and has been in the trainer's room too much as well. So he's the guy I'll be watching. And DeAndre Houston Carson, I think, has already proved his worth on special teams. But again, when you're those bottom of the roster guys, you're fighting for your lives every year at this time.
Well, guys, it seems year after year, you hear so many fans saying, you know, we need more at safety. We need more at cornerback. So hopefully, under this Vic Fangio defense, that this perhaps is the year for these guys to rise up and finally that secondary could you know, can perform as many fans hope that they will. Any other defensive things to watch as these guys head to Bourbonnais?
Yeah, just for me, from an outsider's perspective, you know, I'm not around the team every day, but I follow the league and just. You know, you talk about that secondary. I mean, yeah, would it be nice if they made more interceptions, like Arthur pointed out? Absolutely. But you also have to contend with covering, you know, you've got good receivers in Davante Adams week one, Doug Baldwin week two, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk week three, you know, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson week four. You're getting the Patriots down the road. The Lions have good receivers and on, Vikings. I mean, they've, you know, Odell Beckham later on. I mean, they've got some the Rams. That's a lot to deal with. So that secondary is going to be taxed. They are going to be pushed at some point. And, you know, really it's playing good red zone defense, not letting guys behind you. A lot of speed merchants are going to test them. So that's, for me, one of those things that you have to factor into the Bears' overall defensive success.
That's a great point by Eric, and all I would add to close is guys, we've had so much fun talking all offseason about this offense and Mitch Trubisky's chances of success now that he finally has a chance, and surely we'll continue doing that on next week's podcast, but I think it's just important to point out it's still all about projecting on offense, all the new faces, you know, all of the learning each other and whatnot. On the defense, it's now, guys. They were good last year. Look at where the investments have been made, whether it's Leonard Floyd or Eddie Goldman, Roquan Smith, the top pick this year. This thing has been built up to be very good, dominant maybe even. And I think they've got the right guy overseeing it all in Vic Fangio and all of his defensive staff returning too. So we can talk excitedly about the offense and what it might be. But I think we can talk confidently about what the defense is now and the next steps that it should take this year.
Well, it was a pleasure having Eric and Arthur on the show today. As we said at the top, you can hear both of these guys talk all things NFL with me over on the Pro Football Weekly podcast. And of course, you can see all their outstanding work over at ProFootballWeekly.com. Guys, that'll do it for this edition of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Bears training camp is here and the team reports to Bourbonnais on Thursday, July 19th. We, of course, will be bringing you the offensive preview next week, and Hub and Laguerre should be back on that one. So be sure to be checking out the latest Bears news as it breaks 24/7 at ProFootballWeekly.com. We want to thank you all for listening this week, and we hope that you head on over to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast if you've not already done so. A big thanks to Umphreys McGee for the use of our theme song, Glory, which you can download on iTunes if you enjoy listening to that track each week. We want to thank you, the listeners, as always, for checking us out. And a big thanks once again to Eric and Arthur for filling in for Hub and Bob to discuss the Bears. Once again, I'm Dan Mobb. For the entire Pro Football Weekly crew, we thank you, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care, everyone.